When someone invites you for lunch, how do you usually receive it? When somebody you really like invites you out for lunch, how do you feel? You feel good? When you go back home during the holidays and your mom is preparing that nice meal for you that you really like, it's your favorite one, how does it feel? Does it feel good? When you see a friend that you haven't seen in a long, long, long time, and he or she invites you to eat with them, to go to a nice restaurant, how does that make you feel? Good? Well, good for you, because as a pastor, when people invite me to go out to eat, it's usually because they want to drop a bombshell on me. It's even worse when people say, pick a nice restaurant. And then sure it comes. You're having a nice conversation. You're enjoying a nice time with a friend or somebody from church. And then suddenly the message comes. Well, Pastor Gilbert, the reason I invited you out to eat is because... And here we go. And if you're like me, I go like, oh no, I was enjoying my veggie burger. But all jokes aside, how would you feel like if you were invited to participate in this Last Supper event? I mean, think about it for a second. What is going on here is there's a lot of preparation. The disciples might not understand exactly what's taking place, what's going on. Jesus is asking them to go and find a place and prepare a place and talk to someone. And you're joining all that situation and you try to understand exactly what is going on. If you're like me, I always like to place myself under those circumstances and try to understand what would be going on in the minds of the people sitting around Jesus. What are they thinking about? And if you could imagine for a minute, if you see this long table with 12 people sitting on, how are they arranged? Are they around this table? Are they all facing forward so people can take a picture like we see in the Da Vinci Code and all that kind of stuff? How is that table arranged in your mind? As you walk inside of this place, how does it look like? Who's going to be the first person that you went to see? Is that Jesus sitting in the center? Would you like to see one of the apostles, one of the disciples? Would you like to rather sit by them and try to hear and listen to some of the conversations that that's taking place? How would be the smell of that place? Is there light in there? Would you be looking at the sandals of the disciples and looking like, oh, that's really dirty? If you were in that circumstance, under those situations, what would you be looking at? What would be the things that would be catching your attention? I don't know about you, but I would be actually looking forward to seat by Peter. If I could, I would get a chair and I would sit right beside him and I would like to interact with him and be asking some questions. What is going on in your mind? What is Jesus saying? What was he teaching yesterday, the night before? Why you didn't leave like so many other people did? What it makes you right here sitting by this table with Jesus? Tell me a story I never heard about him. How can you be so brave, Peter? How can you be all preaching the gospel to these Gentiles and to the Jews and going all around the world? Is that what's going on in your mind? Are you ready for this task? What is going on in your mind, Peter? I would be asking him some of these questions. But before we get there with my conversation with Peter, how would you feel if you were sitting at the table and they have these 12 amazing apostles sitting? Jesus is probably sitting at the center. Jesus gives instructions to his apostles on where to go, who to find, who to talk with. Look at this. If you look at Mark 14:17, you will see that Jesus is giving them specific instructions. It says there that they would have to find a man down the street. They would have to approach this man and say, the Lord has asked, where are we going to have our communion, our Last Supper or Passover? And this man is supposed to give them directions where to go and where to meet. And the apostles receive instructions on how to prepare the place. So imagine this. They are all ready to go. Jesus gives instructions. The Passover is very important. And now you're sitting there, and this is what you hear. In the middle of this amazing Passover, Jesus interrupts the Passover, and Jesus has something to say. Look at Mark chapter 14, verses 17 and on. Especially the red words of the Bible. Look at there where it says, I tell you the truth, Jesus is telling them. One of you will betray me. One who is eating with me. I don't know how you feel about this, but do you think that if you were there at that time, do you really believe that you would fully understand what Jesus was saying? One is going to betray me. How many of you believe that you would understand that? How many of you believe that, you really would not have like a question mark, like a, what? I know these men, I know these 12, I know what we have been doing for the Lord, and now Jesus is saying that one is going to betray him? Would you be alert and looking for some kind of clues to find out who is going to betray him? Who would you be staring at? Who would you be looking at? Are you good at reading facial expressions? Maybe if you're looking at Judas, you're going to go like, maybe he knows what's going on. But if you are just a little bit like me, when I'm invited to go to my best friend's house to have a Christmas Eve banquet, I'm in a different mood. It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter who is there. I do not pay attention to any negative things. Have you been in a situation that people tell something that you just passes by you? Is that the case here that maybe the apostles, they're not even aware of what is really going on? Why in the world would Jesus allow all this preparation for this beautiful meal together with so much symbolism, with so much truth, with so much sorrow, and break this amazing moment to tell them, one of you is going to betray me? I don't know about you, but if I were talking to Peter, if I were sitting close to him, if I would have the privilege of sitting close to Peter, I would lean toward Peter and say, Peter, what is Jesus talking about? And I can imagine Peter just looking at me and saying, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. I imagine Peter even telling me something like this. You want to know something even worse? You have no idea what Jesus said yesterday, just the night before, when we were all together. And of course, I would be very suspicious and intriguing. Like, what's going on? What else happened? Tell me, Peter. I was not around. Imagine if Peter, he starts telling you. If you go back with Mark chapter 13. Imagine if you're having a conversation with Peter and asking him these questions. Do you understand what's going on? And imagine if Peter would tell you this. Last night, this is what Jesus was telling everybody. Chapter 13, verse 32 through 37. Look at this. Imagine Jesus now talking to them the night before and saying, no one knows about that day or about that hour. Day? Hour? Not even the angels in heaven. How is that possible that not even the angels know? Nor the Son. but only the Father. Verse 33, be on guard, be alert. You do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge. Servants, man going away? Hour, the time, nobody knows. Imagine if you're like me, looking at Jesus saying these words. What does that possibly mean? And each with his assignment task, and he tells the one at the door to keep watching. Verse 35, therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. Imagine Peter telling you that the night before, just before Jesus interrupts the Passover, Jesus is saying all these things about the hour has not come, nobody knows, and the Father, and the time has not arrived yet, and the rooster will crow, and I hope you not sleep when the time arrives. Imagine Peter telling you, if you're sitting like me by the table, what is he talking about? And Peter's like, I don't know. Yesterday he was saying even more weird stuff about roosters and hours and the time. And I don't know what that means. Would you understand if you were sitting right there at the table? How weird that situation would be, that in a moment so precious like that, Jesus interrupts the Passover with bad news like that. And of course, the story doesn't end there. The Bible says that Jesus goes to the garden of Gethsemane to pray. And along with him, he brings Peter, he brings John and some other friends with him, some other disciples. And the Bible says that many times Jesus came back and asked them, can't you stay awake? Can't you just pray? Can you just be awake for 1 hour with me? And Jesus comes once, and Jesus comes twice, and Jesus comes 3 times, and he looks at Peter, Peter, not even an hour you can pray with me? And then when Jesus says for the 3rd time, and he comes back, the one that had said just a few verses before, no one knows the hour, no one knows the day, the one that had said that for Peter, that was intrigued about all these roosters and time and hour, Jesus himself looks at Peter and he says, wake up, the hour has come. And imagine now Peter's like, what hour? And then here comes Judas, and here comes the soldiers, and they take away Jesus. And now John and Peter, they're following to see where they're going to take Jesus. And you know the story. You know that Peter is going to be sitting by a place for far away, just looking, observing. And what happens to Peter? 3 times he denies Jesus. The very same Peter that said, I will never deny you. I'm ready to die for you. The very same Peter. He denies the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times. A man that had prepared the last Passover of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A man that took the time to go down the streets and find the man that Jesus was talking about. Find the room that Jesus was talking about. Maybe to decorate the place that Jesus wanted to have his last supper with him. Now the man, Peter, denies Jesus 3 times. And the Bible says that when the rooster crows, oh, by the way, do you know where the rooster crows comes in now? And the Bible says when this rooster finally crows, Peter suddenly gets it. It finally hits him like a ton of bricks. And the Bible says that the apostle Peter, he walks away sorrowful. He's desperate. Because now he understands what Jesus was talking about. What was the day? what was the hour, what was the time. And if you're like me, if you were giving this gift, this blessing of being there when all these things took place, when I would see Peter run away because he's going to cry, because he's very sorrowful for everything he did. If you were like me, I would chase Peter down. And I would go down to Peter. And seeing him sobbing and crying and desperate, I would not be able to hold but ask him, Peter, what happened? What made you cry? What made you run away so badly? And I'm not sure if this is true, but it could possibly, I could hear Peter saying, now I understand. Now I understand that when Jesus said, my hour has come, my time is here, Peter's saying, I understand now that my time as well has come. Not only Jesus' time had come, that he had to be vigilant and watching. Not only that the rooster would crow and tell Peter, Peter, can you see how far away from the kingdom you are? This man that had followed Jesus for many years. If I were Peter, and if I were there with Peter, I would hear Peter saying, now I understand because my hour has also come. And of course, I would ask Peter, what are you talking about? What hour? Your hour? His hour? What time? What day? What are you talking about, Peter? And imagine how intriguing it would be if Peter would look at you and say, Gilbert, nobody knows the hour. Nobody knows the time but you. Here we are today, 2,000 years later, back at the table to celebrate something that the Lord Jesus had asked us to do in remembrance of him. We have all these symbols. Yesterday night we're here until late, making sure that the music was right, that the sound system was right, making sure that the tables are in the right place. Yesterday we're here talking about how we're going to enter, how we're going to exit. Yesterday, we're brainstorming some ideas. Last time, this didn't work well. Why don't we do this time? I think this is going to work a little bit better. And we're talking about how are we going to remember what Jesus told us to do, to remember his Last Supper, to remember the last time that he would eat with his disciple, the Passover. And yesterday, we were here as well. And now, I'm just asking myself, how similar or how different the circumstances 2,000 years ago as it is today, just right before the time when we are about to eat once again the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not sure if you understand what I mean. Back then, 2,000 years ago, even after they ate the Last Supper with Jesus, the Passover, there was denial, there was betrayal, so many other things happening, and I wonder today, is it possible that even here in our church today, after 2,000 years, after all this beautiful preparation and all the rehearsing, is it possible that God will be looking down at us today and the Lord Jesus Christ and will be thinking, who's going to be the one denying me today? Who's going to be the one betraying me today? Who's going to be the one walking out the doors today and never come back? It just so happened that I would like to ask you a question. Are you sleeping? Some of you are, but let's not go there. Are you spiritually sleeping? right now. And my last question to you is, have you heard today the rooster crow again? Can you hear it right now? Because no one knows the hour but you. God bless you.